Good morning, church. Morning. I'm so delighted to be back. After 2 years, I was here for a quick visit last 2 years ago and had a brief time of sharing. And I thank God for this opportunity for me to come and to minister with His Word. This trip, actually, we were coming back from, we went to Myanmar to pay a visit to my grandmother who is not well, she isn't sick, but she seems okay to, as we visit her. And on the way back, we are making a stop over to visit Malaysia for 2 weeks break. 1 week I was in Klang, and this week I thought to pay a visit to Penang. And we are stopping here, and at least the reason why we are here is to say thank you. All these 8 years of my ministry in Nepal as a principal of the Baptist Bible College, Fetish Park has been one of our prayer supporters and generously supported our ministry, so we are here to say thank you. And the college there that I serve has also made a small appreciation of plague that I wanted to pass this to the church. So may I just like to... Yeah. Yes. We praise God that He is alive, and the demonic forces is everywhere, and He does the work. And we, our God that we have, is greater than the darkness. And I think I can do this later if I end my preaching. So when I told Pastor Jerry, I'm coming to Malaysia for a visit, and he invited me to come and speak to this church. And I was a little concerned. And English is not my first language. My first language is Nepali. And the first time I came here, I was single. I was doing my study in MBTS, Malaysia Baptist Theological Seminary. I did my master's there. And the second time I came in 2008. After I graduated in 2006, I came with my wife. I became double, from single to double. And the third time I'm here now, and it's supposed to be three, but we have four now. So God has given us our twins, a boy and a girl, and such a joy and a blessing to have a children at home. So I thank God. And when I was telling Jeremy that I'm here in Penang, and he asked me to preach, and I was thinking and what to share with you this morning, and there was Saturday I emailed him, and that Saturday we worship in Nepal. And when I was worshiping, I had this images in my mind going through back and forth. There were three things that God was laying in my heart to share to this church this morning. And I have no text at the moment, only the symbols that I wanted to bring to you. And, excuse me. Yes, and that three things that came in my mind was the manger, the first thing. That things keep prompting in my mind, manger. And then the second thing that came in my view was the cross. Okay, the manger, the first, the second was the cross. And the third thing, it reflects me as I was worshiping, and I was telling God, what should I bring to this church, Fetish Park Baptist Church, my church, because I have served here for almost 2 years with Pastor Prem and all the team here. And the third thing, it was the empty tomb. He showed me manger, He showed me the cross, and He showed me the empty tomb. And I was reflecting on this. It has been 3 weeks I'm away from home, and I've been reflecting on these things. And I know the Bible says there is nothing new in this earth, right? So nothing new under the sun. Everything is a reflection. You review, you ponder, you rethink. So the first thing about manger, it took me a while to say, why manger? Because it displays the love of God. It demonstrates, the manger demonstrates the love of God. The God, when he gave a gift, he gave his son wrapped in and put in a manger. That displays how much he loves us. There's a story that told by during the Second World War. There was a family of four children, and they were so bad situation. They were starving, and they need to sell their children to get money. The husband and the wife decided to sell the first son. So when they were deciding, the father says, "Honey, why don't we just sell this first one and get the money and feed ourselves?" And then they prayed about it. And then the next day, the wife came and said, "Honey, do you know, the first child is so precious to us. Do you remember how much we prayed for the son? And it took so long to get a first baby. I think we should not really sell the son." And then, okay, let's sell it the another one, the second one. And they went home. They went to bed, pray. And the next day, the father came and says, "Honey, I don't think we should sell this. Let's sell the second one, because everyone in the community says that the son reflects my image. How can I sell him, the one who is so close to my reflection?" And then, okay, then let's do the third one. So they decided the third one. And they prayed, went to the bed. The next morning, the mom says, "Honey, you know, darling, I don't think the third one to be sold." "Why?" "Because everyone tells the third one resembles like me, like mother, you know. So how can I sell my own kind of image? I can't do that." So they don't sell the third one, which was the mother's image. So they decided to sell the fourth one. And when they were meeting, and suddenly the father says, "You know what? The fourth one is so precious. The little one in Nepali culture, the last one is the most pampered one, like Joseph, you know. He was so loved, so cared." And the father says, "Let's not sell these little ones as well." So the story goes that the true story in the World War, all this family died one after another without selling their children. Without giving away their children, they died to death by not having to eat. So what I'm saying is that what man could not do, that God did it. God sent his only begotten son to die for us. He gave us to this world that was wrapped in a cloth, put in a manger. See, the man could not do this. I cannot sell my son to bless someone else. It is so difficult for a human. So what was difficult for man to do, it was God did for us. The manger demonstrates how much he loves us. Romans 5 says that when we are yet sinners, Christ died. God so loved us that he gave his son. But when I was pondering on manger, one thing that struck me so much, that in the Bible, in Isaiah, it says, "Unto us a child was born, and unto us a son is given." This Isaiah tells us that the son was never born. The son was given. He was already in eternity. John says that. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this God came down, took a flesh of a human beings, and lived this life with full of grace and full of truth." This is manger. God telling us that I love you so much that I am willing to give my son to you. That is the manger. And Jesus, so humanly, so humbly, he comes down from the stairways of heaven, come this earth in a form of human. Such a lowly place, he forms himself as a slave and be obedient to the cross until his death. And this is the demonstration of God's love, how he loves you. I can see this is what God is trying to tell us, that children, Fetus Park, I love you so much, and I love you so much that I have sent my son to die for you as a manger. The second thing that came to my mind was the cross. The Golgotha, actually, at first, it came in my mind was the skull and the cross reflection. The second thing, the cross. What is cross? I think the cross achieved much what other things could not achieve. The cross represents the demonstration of God's righteousness. We always talk about how much God loves me. Look at the cross. Yes, the cross also represents the love of God, but Romans 3:25 says, God display Jesus as his righteousness. It was his righteousness that was displayed on the cross. Yes, there was a love, but God wanted to show that I am not chin chow, bo chow kind of thing, you know. I don't know what you call it. I am not play, you know. I am such a holy God that no sinner can approach me without the cross. So I display my son to you. I display my righteousness. I display my holiness to you through the cross. And that cross achieved six things. The first thing was the expiation, the removal of our sins. The second thing was propitiation. That was removal of God's wrath. God was angry with us, and the cross removed it from us. The third thing was reconciliation. God, we were enmity with God, Romans 5 says. Now we have peace with God because of cross. Second thing, church, that's the thing that we need to remember. We don't worship the Jesus who is in a manger. That's, we make a lot of noise in Christmas time, right? We sing, we celebrate, carol singing, the lights, everything is on in Christmas, which is okay, which is good. But we should, our worship should not end at the manger. It has to proceed towards the cross to see what God has done on the cross for us. It is the cross that gives us the way to God. It is the cross that gives us the access to the living God. As Jeremy was saying, Pastor James was saying, we have confidence now. The confidence only comes when we have the reflection, when we think what God has done for us on that cross and the old rugged cross. When I was pondering on this thing, church, I was thinking, I'm a teacher, I teach, and when I teach, I tell this question once very, very carefully. Why would these days people don't have appreciation for Christ? Sometimes we do church things, but the love for God, but the love for this Jesus is not there yet. We don't have that affection. We don't have that kind of longingness. We don't have that thing that we really wanted to have, but we don't. And the one thing that we don't have is because we don't really appreciate the cross. See, the God who is almighty, the God who knows everything, who is all-knowing God, every inch of the land belongs to him. He is so knowing, he is so powerful, he is so mighty, then this mighty God shouldn't have any other options to remove the sins of mankind. Why Jesus? I always ask this question. Had there been any other way to take away the sins of human beings? Had there been any other way? Of course there should be, because God who said it, in his word, the mountains was formed. In his word, all the universe was made. He is God, G-O-D, and he does anything, and he can curate and make things happen. But why is there no other way for him to save human beings, for the human souls? Is there no other way? Had there been no other options left for him? Jesus, when he went to Gethsemane, the garden, he made this prayer. Father, if there be your will, let this cup, remove this cup from me. So what was he saying? He was saying, Father, do you have any other options? Have option A. Do you have option B, Father? Why don't you do option B and besides me dying on the cross? And he says, let your will be done. And he was saying, had there be any options, God? Father, do you have option A and option B? Why me? And Father says, Son, there is no other options. There is no other options for a man, for a human beings to remove their sins. There's only one option. That is you dying on the cross. Your blood shed on the cross. There is no other way. That's why Jesus says, I'm the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no one can come except me to Father. There is no other way, folks. If had there been other way for God of the Bible, see, he says that the Old Testament sacrifice didn't work. There was not the ultimate option. The ultimate option for God to send his beloved darling of heaven to come to the world and to be crucified, to save your sin and my sins, to save away from our sins. Cross, expiation, propitiation, reconciliation, those things were achieved on the cross. So what do? We have to have faith on that finished work of Jesus. I have appreciation. I cry when I worship most of the time, because I have that appreciation that what God did for us, because he had no any other options to save me from my sins. I love Jesus more than anything else in my life. Like the psalm says, whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And there is nothing on earth I desire beside you. My heart and my strength may fail, but God, you are the portion of my forever. My appreciation comes when I see the cross and when I see God be bound in no other options except to send Jesus to the cross. The third thing God showed me was the empty tomb. Empty tomb. You know, I don't only worship Jesus on the cross who is dead. My worship is Jesus who is alive. My worship is God who is alive and living. My worship is our God who is resurrected. One person, when I was in Korea, one guy asked me, why do you say Jesus is God? Can you tell me? Can you prove why Jesus is God? Oh, there are so many theological discussions going on. But one little boy, I believe, he's come and stood and says, I believe Jesus is God because he is risen from the dead. Indeed it is. It is indeed because he is risen from the dead and he is God. Because all of this founder of the religion, like Hinduism, there is no founder. It's all about philosophy. The Muslim, that's the Islam, and then the Judaism, all this ism, Buddhism. The founders who found their religion have been died and still their graves are there. And Jesus, that our God, is not at the grave. It is tomb, is empty, and we worship the God who is alive. Church, if Jesus wasn't alive, if he was still at the grave, today we wouldn't have this literature, I tell you. Today we were not here together worshiping like this. Because it is, because the resurrection on a Christian faith is the crowning event. It is the climax of what we are saying here, that we worship a true and living God. Pastor Jeremy just now was saying, we are living in a time of difficult times. Such a difficult time that you're going through. We just had in Indonesia, we were having a doubt whether we have in Malaysia. Nepal is also having a different kind of problem. We have an Indian blockade going for 4 months. We have no cooking gas to cook food. We have our petrol is run out. No diesel, no petrol. Our flights have been rescheduled. There are lesser flights to fly. If you fly to Nepal, you go direct. But when you come back, you have to go through Bangladesh to refill, because there is no international fuel has been provided in Nepal. So it is longer time to come back to Malaysia. Things have been bad to worse. So there was no cooking gas. Everybody started to cook in an electric stove, an induction stove these days. So all Kathmandu, especially most of the Kathmandu people, bought this induction stove, cook at the same time, the evening time. There are 400 transformers being blasted at the same time because the electricity could not tahan, right? So what did the government do? The government just sent just enough light to lead the light. Now you can't run your washing machine. Now you can't even turn your whatever thing, the electrical equipments. So we're in such an apathetic, so sad condition. So what to do? Where should we get our confidence to live this life? And now we are afraid of terrorists. We are afraid of the things that happen in our country. We see our future so dark and blur. So where do we get our confidence? I believe, or strongly that our confidence can only believe if you see Jesus not on the cross, but Jesus out from that grave, and who is alive and true, and he lives and he is living. And when we have this living God with us, Romans says, who can be against us? We worship living God, God who is alive. Amen. I was in Fetis Park long time. Most of you know me, and I know you as well. But some of the new faces, I thank God that you have been to this church, a beloved church. I was here pastoring a church, Nepali ministry, with Sister Kylie. She's not here. She's in a better place. Had a hard time. She was discovered by cancer, and I have to force to drive the old van. I was told that old van is not working. And I learned driving here in Malaysia. I learned basketball here in Malaysia. A lot of things I learned here. So, and in that time, see, I have to go. My ministry was so tight. Like Friday, we finished our seminary, and Friday evening, we have Jalan Meranti Nepali service. That was Friday. And Saturday, we have to visit for home groups, like Pulau Tikus. Underneath, there's a one-stop mall. Underneath, there was a Nepali ministry. We got to pray. We had to go for a prayer there. And then Saturday evening, we have another meeting up there. So different places. Sunday, we worship here. And then quickly after, we grab our lunch on the way. We took a ferry, go to Prai. Even today, I'm doing that. So we go to Prai and then preach there at Prai and come back, take the bridge, and then go to Bain Lepas, where there's another ministry area, and I preach there. I was a driver because I pick up all the... I was a worship leader at the time. I was a driver, worship leader, and then everything, all one man show. And then come back to same... No. Come back here, put the church van at the place, and then drive my little motorbike, go to seminary, get bathed, and it was almost like 2 o'clock in the morning. So that was the life that I did here. And when without Kylie, it was so difficult. It was very difficult. So I felt God was not working in my life. I said, God, everything that I'm doing here is by my strength. I do this, I go here, everything is my life. I don't think you are working in my life at all. And then with my desperation, I went all the way to the beach there. That the MBTS has their private bridge. I drove my motorbike, the blue purple color, all the way down to the beach. I stood on the rock and I said, Lord, if you are working in my life, let me see dolphin here. I want to repeat my dolphin story here. All right. It was 6:30. It was 2:05, May 21, Saturday, 6:30. I stood there at the beach there and said, Lord, I want to see dolphins here on this ocean if you are working in my life. 6:30. I was waiting so eagerly to see anything comes out from the water, but nothing came. All right? So 7 o'clock, I had to come for this Pulau Tikus, one stop there to for a prayer meeting. So I rushed for a prayer meeting. I prayed, but inside I know something is not right. It's not right with God. I was so disappointed. So come back for prayer, come back home, come back to seminary. And then there was Saturday. So Sunday I worship here. I think Pastor Prem was preaching. And then I took a lunch, went to Prai. Took the ferry. I preached there. You know how it is? You can preach from your lips, but not from your heart. You know, because you are very disappointed with God. He is not telling you, giving you the signs. So I came back, drove all the way to the bridge, go to Bain Lepas, preached there as well. That was Saturday, Sunday night. So I was preaching there, came back home, go to seminary. And then there was Monday. I have to have my English class because the seminary doesn't provide me a visa. So I have to go my English class at IPG, Pulau Tikus. And Monday morning, all the way, I was there, very disappointed, sad, don't want to talk with anyone. I didn't know what was that until later I knew it was a burnout. So Tuesday, we had a class where Pastor Clement was teaching in a class. And it was 12:25, we break. Everybody went out to the corridor to grab their coffee. I was back there at the back row, sitting quiet, didn't want to talk to anyone. And suddenly people scream, dolphins! And I feel like, why are they teasing me inside? No? I was like, and then... No, the screaming was getting louder and louder, and it forced me to come out. So I walked through the corridor, and I looked through the door, and there was a spot of dolphins. And I was just watching there, and Sonny Koo, maybe you know him, said, I am a Penang guy. I have never seen so many dolphins here in this muddy ocean. And there's another guy, Nicodemus, he was saying, after 25 years, I am seeing so many dolphins in this ocean. One after another, when they were giving me a signal, I was full of tears already. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I said, Lord, forgive me and thank you for the sign. And there was one particular dolphin next to the stone that I stood, was one there jumping and saying, Hey, Subhas, look, here I am. And when, so when I look at the dolphin, and then it went to be along with the swim along with his friends. And then this story was very true. Pastor Prem here knew about my story. I have shared this before already. So he asked me to share in this church, and this is my second time sharing this story. After I shared, Pastor Elvin, just right there, he walked to me and said, Subhas, do you know why this dolphin came after 3 days and three nights? I didn't even know that until he told me. All right? And I said, Pastor, I don't know. It's like, and he says, you know what? Penang do not have dolphins, and God has to send all the way from Australia. Church, my little testimony. So I have a little pendulum of dolphin here. Always remind myself, I serve a true God. I serve a living God. I serve God who answers my prayer. I serve God who is alive. I serve God who is not on the cross. I serve God who is out from the tomb. He is with God, and this God lives in us. He is Emmanuel, and He is with us. This is the God I believe, and I build my confidence when I see the empty tomb. This is the God you are believing. I believe, and I believe the same God. Amen. He is alive, George. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. And this gives us the confidence. Maybe when Pastor Jerry was sharing, I was thinking whether my preaching today will be right or wrong. I have no verse. I have my verses going back all the way. But this is three things I want to remind you. That God is telling, don't worship me only at the manger. Christmas time. You make a lot of noise that time. Okay? Don't worship me only when I'm at the cross. So gloomy Friday, we call it, right? Friday is what's gloom. Supposed to be a gloomy Sunday, but it's a gloomy Friday for us. Christ, our Lord, our Savior on the cross, we cry, we shed tears without reflections. So Christmas, the manger, is not where we should stop. It can be a starting point. The cross, Good Friday, is not where we stop. We do reflection. But our joy, our celebration, we blow the trumpet, we make a lot of noise, we shout to the community, say, hey, our God that we worship is alive, and He is God. We should make Easter as one of our biggest festivals, perhaps, not only Christmas. Because it is the Christ who is risen that disciples got confidence. They were so proud, they were so afraidful, they were fearful. They were cowards in a way. They were in a room, closed, locked door. But it was the power of the resurrections that they received. It was the message, the cross, and the resurrection was the powerful message for them to tell people. So we worship God who is alive. We worship God who is true and who is living and who is active. And He's still active in people's life. Just hear the testimony, brother. God bless you. That is the reminder for all of us that we worship God who is still alive, working in us and through us. So what with these three things? Just three things. I want to end my message here. Manger, it tells us that we should be a people of love. God demonstrated His love to us, and we now should demonstrate our love to our neighbors. As Pastor Jerry, again, I'm quoting you because I think my message is very... It's not a coincidence, I believe it is God who's saying. It is that we have the opportunity now to share this love of God to people. Very quickly, the number two, the cross. It's the demonstration of God's righteousness. And God is telling that we should be the people of faith. Our faith is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in our works, but our faith has to be built on the finished work of Jesus. And we, the family of Fetter Spark, has to be the people of faith. People of faith. Thank you for the testimony. It's the faith that moves forward. It's the faith. The third thing quickly is the empty tomb. It's the God's display of His promise. God's display of His promise. So we, the people, has to be people of hope. We are very hopeful people. Why do we hope for a future, a better future? Because our God is alive, and He is active, and He listens, and we can have a hope, an eternal life with God, with Him. So how do I connect these three things? You know, one verse that I have, I see this one very quickly, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's the manger. It's the manger. Whoever believes in him is the cross. If you believe his cross, and the third thing is the empty tomb, you will have eternal life. Hope. Amen. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. The manger, his love, the cross, the faith, and the empty tomb, the eternal life, the promise that he has given to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for choosing us out of darkness into the light and calling us to be your children, your sons and daughters. What a privilege for us to come to you and to call you as our Abba and our Father. And we are so encouraged that we worship not a dead God, but God who is alive, true, active, and still working in us and through us. May your word this morning, as have been shared, be blessed to many people, those who have heard it from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. I think I really want to do this one. This is only an appreciation plaque from the school. I stepped down from being a principal this last year, 2015, December. And prior to my leaving, the board have decided to send this appreciation plaque, certificate of appreciation, to a church here, Feathers Park, my church, to say thank you. It says, in the mission of transforming lives, Nepal Baptist Bible College, certificate of appreciation awarded to Feathers Park Baptist Church, Malaysia. In recognition of a long-standing partnership in a mission of transforming lives of young men and women in Nepal for the extension of the kingdom of God, we are blessed with this partnership, and without your continual prayer and generosity, the fruition in the ministry wouldn't be possible. Signed by me as a principal at the time, and then and my chairman here, and I'd like to just offer this to Pastor Jeremy as the chairman of the church and the pastor, please. For Pastor Alvin's heart, which is through the church that he's in Nepal. I told him I'm coming. I said, you're coming, I'm going. This is something that we wanted to appreciate Pastor Alvin for his heart for Nepal and the how he has been into the Nepali ministry. A small appreciation. I'd like to give it to Alicia. Where are you? On behalf of, we have a better half now. Please, we'd like to come and receive this honor from the school to Pastor Alvin. This one is forced for me, you know. board seminary board, actually, we prepared this before I left the school. So I think it's good to come to Malaysia and thank the church, the whole, to continue for praying for us and being together, even in time of the earthquake that we had. And for your prayers, we deeply appreciate, and especially an honor for me to stand and to deliver the word that I was given from the Lord to speak to you. That our God is risen and he's alive. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Subhash. He asked to see dolphins. I would have asked to see something else. But God is alive. Thank you for that reminder. We live through different seasons of life and... you know, for Subhash and family, he's beginning another season. He's no longer the principal of the Bible College. But we want to pray for him and his family. We just want to invite them to come to the front. Invite the elders, Chun and Raymond, to come as well. Is Seng Hock? Seng Hock is not here. But before that, I just want to assure you that what happened just now was just a minor disturbance. Sometimes in the presence of God, people encounter God, and you know there might be manifestations, but it is nothing to worry about. Okay, we have people who are familiar with this, and so let's pray for the sister. Okay, we don't know what it is. It may just be emotional. It may be spiritual. Okay, but let's pray for her. Let's express our love for her, and to make her feel like, you know, if she comes back again, that, you know, we don't give her that kind of look. Okay? All right? So I hope that you're not unduly alarmed by that. We want to pray for Subhash and family. Do you want to tell all the people here your name? Would you like to do that?
Tell your name.
My name is Srijan, brother.
Okay. And what's your name?
Serene.
Okay, Srijan and Serene. Okay. And that's Pramila, the wife. Okay. Want to thank God for this brother. When I first knew him, he actually gave me a Nepali name. Okay. He said, "You must have this name because when I see you, I'm reminded." He gave me the name Raju. Okay. I absolutely rejected that. Yeah, I shouldn't have, okay, but that was the name he gave me, Raju. And this brother has served God faithfully. And as he has shared, you know, God has come through for him so many times. And I think the message that he brings to us is that we must have a love for God, a deep appreciation for who God is, and to really give him the worship and the love that God truly deserves. So I ask you to join your hearts and your spirits with us as we pray for this family. Just pray for him, for the children, for the wife. Just reach out your hands, pray for them, and then I'll lead this time of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for my brother here, Subhash, for his wife, Pramila, and the two children, Srijan and Serene. I want to thank you for the way in which you have used them. I thank you for your presence that's in them and your Holy Spirit that is working through their lives. I want to thank you especially for Subhash, for his faithfulness in following after you, in serving you faithfully, even when he felt that you were not with him, for not giving up, but for persevering. I thank you for this persevering heart and spirit. I pray that you will continue to help him to persevere, to run the race that you've set before him, and to run it well. To run it with faith, to run it with confidence, because he is serving a God who is risen. Father, I thank you that just as you have been with the family in the previous seasons of their life, as they begin this new season of life, this new chapter, I pray that God, you will remind them that you are faithful, you are with them, and that God, you are leading them higher and growing them deeper and expanding, oh Lord, their influence. Father, I want to pray and remind them that their portion is the Lord. The Lord is your portion. Because, God, you are their portion, then, Lord, their portion is great. It's unimaginably great. I ask, O Lord, that you will continue to provide for all of their needs. That for the children, O Lord, that they will have every need met, O God. I pray for wisdom for Subhash and Pramila, that they will just impart, O Lord, faith into the hearts of their children. They will raise them up well to become godly children, people who will love you wholeheartedly and serve you wholeheartedly and follow after you obediently. Father, I pray for the many challenges that they face in Nepal. But God, I pray that in all of these, they will discover that, Lord, your grace is more than sufficient for them. That, God, all their needs you will meet. I ask, O Lord, that they will have a very clear sense of direction from you. That, Lord, every step of the way, they will have a clear sense of leading from you. I just ask, O Lord, that you will continue to protect them, keep them safe from all harm and danger. And Lord, use them mightily as they avail themselves to you. I pray, O God, that you will help them to be rested in heart and spirit, that they will continue to always find the joy of serving you, even when things are difficult, but they will always experience this joy. So I pray, as his brother, I ask that, Lord, you bless them. I ask, O Lord, that you favor them. I ask, O Lord, that you make your face to shine upon them and guide them always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us rise, okay? Let's sing. Let's sing this song. He lives, okay? Let's stand, all right? This is a hymn season. Last week we sang Trust and Obey. All right, if Jesus is alive and you believe with all of your heart, then sing at the top of your voice, okay? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. Today, He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation.
salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Thank you, O Lord, for reminding us, because many times, Lord, we live as if Jesus is still hanging on the cross. But He has risen. He has risen. He has conquered. And in Him, we have been made overcomers. And so, Lord, I pray that as we live, O Lord, the following week, O God, and the days ahead, that God will live triumphantly, victoriously, because Jesus is alive. And His Son, His Spirit, who lives in us, who speaks to us, who leads us, and who guides us. So, Father, I pray, O God, that the living Christ who lives in us, O Lord, will be able to touch the lives we will meet in the days ahead, O Lord. I pray, O God, that as we leave this place, that You will dismiss us now, Lord, with Your blessings, that may Your face continually shine upon us. May You, O Lord, release Your blessings in abundant measures. May You release Your favor upon us, O God. And may You, Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses of Yours, making use of every opportunity that You give us to share, O Lord, the hope that we have in Jesus, because the days are evil. Lord, I pray, O God, that You would just bless us, O Lord, and dismiss us now with Your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray, and let all of God's people say, Amen. Have a blessed